This is a Clock Shelves Podcast Network production.
And welcome to a special bonus episode of MCU and Me. As always, I am Paul Casey, and today is a bit of a different episode. As I said, it's a bonus in between some of the films on the DVD and Blu-ray releases. Actually, way back, Marvel used to do what they called one-shots as a bonus feature, and so we actually are covering them as well. Today's episode is a bit different in that it not only features a first-time guest across any of the podcasts that I host, but it also is a test pilot. Now, of course, some of you may be a little confused because the Iron Man show was a pilot, but long before any of that, way back in January of 2018, and actually earlier, I had the idea for this Marvel show, and I got in touch with a good friend of mine who's also a huge Marvel fan. No, it's not Kevin, it's not Jake. Like I said, it's a brand new guest, and we recorded a pilot, actually two pilots, and we used one of the Marvel one-shots as the basis for that. It's covering A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer. So I'm going to put the first pilot in. We're going to explain a little bit about kind of the background to it and everything else, but I just figured I'd give you all this little heads up here. So here is the first pilot that we recorded for A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer. Okay, hello everybody, and welcome to the test pilot of the new potential Clock Shelves Podcast Network series, MCU and Me. I'm one of the hosts, Paul Casey, joined by my co-host,
Jason McEwen.
And basically the goal of this series is to rewatch and sort of talk about and document the entirety of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And what we mean by that is basically anything revolving around the Avengers stuff. And of course, it becomes even more complicated now because Disney just bought in the process of buying 21st Century Fox, which has the X-Men and Deadpool and all of those. So we don't know if they're going to get included. But as of right now,
I hope they do.
I hope they do too. But as of right now, we're just going to be doing like all the Avengers stuff. But that includes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, the Netflix shows, Inhumans, Runaways, all that sort of stuff. So for this test pilot, we're doing one of the Marvel one-shots, and we chose A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer. And we just watched it very briefly, and there's actually two different versions of this pilot that we're going to do. This is the commentary rewatch thing, so it'll basically be about 3 minutes of us just going over this quick little short. Now, you know why they call it a one-shot, right?
Yeah, it's one shot and done.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, you know, you read comic books and stuff, and for anybody who doesn't know, if they only know, like, just the films, within comics, they have the comic series, and then sometimes they'll do a one-shot, where if they just want to give a character, and they do it sometimes as like a backdoor pilot for like television, things like that, where they're like, okay, let's just give this character kind of a central story, and just like you said, like
see where it can go.
Exactly, yeah, like a one and done, and see. And actually, that's kind of how a lot of the characters that we know now got started, because they didn't just used to say, okay, here's Batman. Let's just make a Batman. Like, no, it was Detective Comics, I want to say number 23 or 25. Amazing Fantasy 15 is the first appearance of Spider-Man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Action Comics number 1, it features Superman and other stories, because that's the kind of things that they would do. It was very rare that you started out getting your own comic book.
So I guess it kind of, I mean, and I, you could kind of say that this particular thing, you know,
kind of like an audition in a sense.
In a sense, yeah. But I would, I mean, this sort of, you know, funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer could be kind of like the Agent Carter one was the precursor to the Agent Carter TV series. They were like, oh, we could, you know, this could work as a TV series.
See where we could build off of it.
One could argue this kind of helped lead to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, because this is really like the first time you get the sense of the agents, not just the superheroes and the people with superpowers. This introduces the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Coulson gets to be a badass.
Exactly. And you see a different side of Coulson.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because up until this point, I think we had only, we'd seen him in like the two Iron Man movies. He's in The Incredible Hulk. I think that was it, because if this was a fun, I don't remember when exactly this one is from. I'd have to look it up momentarily, but
the release date, I believe, was, I want to say 2011.
Which would have been coinciding with the Captain America DVD, I want to say.
This one, I think, is pretty good, too, because you see Coulson as not a leader, but more of a second hand. And you see him with more freedom, in a sense. And he, it shows you how he was like in his prime, I guess you can say.
And he looks so much younger, too. Yeah. And I mean, granted, it's been, like, I looked it up here. You are right. It's 2011.
Well, I guessed on that one.
It was released on the Captain America, the First Avenger Blu-ray, takes place during the events of The Incredible Hulk and in between the events of Iron Man 2 and Thor, obviously, because he's on the way to Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it takes place, because that's actually another thing, is the fact that people don't realize that it, in release order, it goes Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, but in chronological order, it actually goes Iron Man 2, Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
That's another thing with this series, we're going to do everything by release order and not chronological order, because if that were the case, then we would do, like, Captain America, the First Avenger first.
Because that took place in the 40s.
Right, but that doesn't seem right to me. Because they allude to so many things and they do certain callbacks and stuff to things that we've already established in Iron Man, Iron Man 2, and The Incredible Hulk. Like, the super soldier thing is in The Incredible Hulk first. Then we see it, like, we see, it's not necessarily like a flashback, but we get kind of the explanation behind it in Captain America.
Yeah, in The Avengers, you see Captain America on the plane watching a video of The Incredible Hulk. And he says, so this Bruce Banner guy tried to recreate the serum used on me.
Right.
And in the comics, Bruce Banner, it was just an accident in the lab. It wasn't him trying to create a new serum for a super soldier. But the funny thing is, in The Incredible Hulk, with who the guy that played him, Edward Norton.
Yeah, Ed Norton, yeah.
In that one, you see him, when the Incredible Hulk is in the field battling all the soldiers, you see the villain, I guess you can say, stand up to the Incredible Hulk. And he gets kicked against a tree and it doesn't really bother him. So I think that's kind of like a...
Well, no, wait, you're talking the guy who also took the
serum, but he didn't turn into the Hulk right away.
Yeah, he
overdosed on it, I think, and that's where he turned into the evil Hulk.
Whatever it's, I don't remember what it's called, but yeah.
So I think that was pretty good. That's kind of like a foreshadowing event. Like, oh, hey, we almost perfected the serum.
Yeah.
And another thing with the serum like that is in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you see the Centipede Project.
Right.
And I think the Centipede Project built off of the serum that they were using on that guy in The Incredible Hulk.
That's one of the things that I love about the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that they, even though in terms of the company structure, the TV side and the film side don't really have anything to do with each other anymore, especially because the rumors online are that Kevin Feige, the guy who's in charge of the films, doesn't like the concept of the TV series because he got kind of upset on the fact that they killed Coulson off in the Avengers and then they brought him back in a TV series. But that's a story for another day. But they do kind of talk to each other a little bit so that they can, you know, cross-reference certain things.
Yeah, and not it give is, too much away.
Yeah, and it's very much universe building. And it's one of those things where, like, if you watch the films, that's fine. If you watch the TV series, that's fine. If you watch them both, it enhances the experience almost. It's sort of like whenever I go to watch those the MCU films, my mother watches them as well, and I don't necessarily read the comics, but I do know a decent amount about the comics, the characters, the history.
To right. reference. And
exactly. And that's the thing. It's like certain things I can say, like, oh yeah, like after, you know, after the movie's over, not during the movie, because people who talk during the theater deserve a place in the special hell. but you know, I'm there and I'm just like, oh, this references this and this storyline and that storyline mixed with a little bit of original stuff is what helped create this film or whatever. And for her, she gets the movie and that's great. And she appreciates the fact that I can bring some of that other knowledge and then I'll go online and then we'll both learn certain things. But like you said, like it's a matter of like she can appreciate that. I can appreciate having a little bit of the comic knowledge, but you probably have even more than me because you actually do read comics, right?
I just recently got back into reading the comics again, thanks to an old coworker. I lost touch with comics for a while after talking with him. You know, I'm like, I got to get back into this.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I got back into it, I found something that I can relate to as well. And the thing with the movies and the shows, it brings the comic to life, but as to where the comics, you can use your imagination.
That's one thing we were talking before we started recording, and we were I referenced Buffy, because anybody who listens to anything that I do knows that I love Buffy. I reference it quite a lot. Buffy and Lost are the two things that I will pretty much always bring everything back around to. But in Buffy, they would do, and it was kind of like, you know, like a Marvel show or like that show Heroes was, where it was like it was a comic book on TV, basically. But then when Buffy ended and now they actually do a comic book series where they have seasons 8, 9, 10, and 11, and a lot of people got upset at first with season 8 because, one, it took them way too long to actually – it took them like 4 years to get through 40 issues or something. Mm-hmm. And well, now they have a better scheduling and whatever, but they went too far out with it. They were just, you know, they were using too many things that you would have never seen on the TV series. And Joss Whedon and other people on the creative team said part of that, and they regretted it, but they said part of that was because they knew they could use this new medium of comics to do things that you would have never been able to do or see on TV.
And to reach a different audience as well.
Exactly. Okay, so we are going to watch A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer. It's only about 3 or 4 minutes long. And here we go. And I will say, we don't hear it well, and I don't think it actually is, but the music that we hear when the car is driving sounds... It's an actual piece of music. I never know what it's called. I only ever refer to it as the Chips Ahoy theme.
Do you know
what I'm talking about?
Yes.
From the old Chips Ahoy TV commercials where they're doing, and it's like a swing dancing sort of thing, and I don't know what the actual song is called, but I've only ever referred to it as the Chips Ahoy theme. Roxxon, for people who don't know, Jason was just reading before we started like some unknown sort of Marvel
little
Easter
eggs. Yeah,
we got through
like two of the facts and Easter eggs.
But Roxxon is one of the major companies that they reference quite a lot like across the entire MCU. So as we go through watching
I've never picked on, up on it.
That's one of the like major recurring company names that they always use. Okay, so there is a heist, robbery.
Hold up, yeah,
happening here at the gas station, and I love how they specifically said they wanted cigarettes, and Coulson is there, and he's I have a gun.
Yeah, what is Coulson wit?
Yeah,
like, and he's super calm about it too. Like you could see the sarcasticness on his face as well.
Well, it's because he knows he could kick these guys' ass. And I love his, like, because, of course, you know, like, we know, but if I was them, I would have been like, why do you need to move over to this other aisle?
Why? Like, just slide it up the other aisle.
Yeah.
See, like, right there, that's like, I don't want to say 007 stunt, but.
Kind of.
Yeah, it kind of like Matrix, too, in a way.
Yeah. And he's just so casual about it.
Doesn't even think about it either.
And he just sets the gun right in front of her and then goes and
She's
donuts.
Still holding her hands up too.
Yep. And he's just donuts and he's just like, I couldn't decide. And then
she didn't even ring him up, did she?
No, he just left the money on the counter. And then I love her thing of, what do I tell the police? And he says that the Taibo classes really paid, our Taibo videos really paid off or whatever. And I don't know if I know you got that reference and I got that reference, but when we were back in like elementary schools, when like Taibo was like the really big thing.
Always on TV.
Yep. We used to do it in gym class. I don't know about you. At my elementary school, that was part of our gym class.
I just paid attention to the girls, man.
They had gym class. We would do certain things where it was Taibo, and it was like, okay, let's, you know, wind up and walk over here. Throw the football. Like, and that was...
I know. I never did anything like that.
Oh, my gosh. It was so funny. That was basically it. That was it.
Yeah, now it's just, what,
it's a minute of credits. Yeah.
Minute and a half credits.
And that's like I said to you before, that was basically because they would...
I do think, though, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I do think it is decent of them to even though there wasn't a lot of people in this one shot, that they still give everybody that was involved the credit that they deserve.
There's actually something about me. I don't know if you know this. Certain people who are listening may know this. Whenever I'm at the movie theater, Marvel Swing, it's called. So it's not the Chips Ahoy theme, by the way.
Okay.
It's called Marvel Swing.
Good thing we watched the credits.
But there, see, and that's why. Whenever I'm at the movie theater, and this is 100% true, I never leave before the credits are over. And I don't just mean that because I am a Marvel fan, because anybody who knows who watches a Marvel movie, and there's other films that do it now, but you know, Marvel, you always want to stay through the entirety of the credits because there's almost always
an end credit scene.
Yes, there's a mid credit scene and an end credit scene, sometimes multiple things, whatever. Even before Marvel started doing that, I would always sit through all the credits, and that was something my parents ingrained in me from when I was very young, because their thought was people worked really hard
exactly,
on that
to make such an awesome project, and
they deserve
entertain the audience.
Yeah, and they deserve. And I went to the theater the other day, because I say the theater or the cinema, because I'm, you know, elitist sometimes. But I was at the cinema the other day, and I sat through the entirety of the credits of the new Jumanji film.
Oh,
and you didn't like it?
No, I want to see it.
Oh, it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be, which that's all I'll say. But
I think that from just judging on the previews that I've seen, I think it's good too, because they're kind of giving a message to today's generation, like kids younger than us, like, oh, hey, you play this game, you'll get sucked into it.
Yes.
Go outside and play.
To be fair, though, I had very low expectations going into it because I'm a huge fan of the original, and I thought it was... Especially because they announced it so close to Robin Williams'
death.
I thought it was like, oh, they're just trying to capitalize, whatever.
Yeah.
It was so much better than I thought it was going to be. But I sat through the credits. The person that I was with left to go to the bathroom, and I went and I came out, and then I went to the bathroom and I said, here's why I sit through the credits. I said, how else would I have known that Gaurav Gupta worked so hard on that?
Yeah.
Because that was one name that stuck out to me. Yeah. I don't know why, but that was one. Well, yeah, I'm like, how else would I have known that Gaurav Gupta worked so, you know, he worked effortlessly on or tirelessly on this film.
And I think a good reason to watch the credits is because you never know who can work on this film while working on another film. Like,
that's one
that
thing.
One name can be in common with, like, a totally different, like, movie genre.
Whenever I go, like I said, I tend to see the Marvel, at least the Marvel films, with my mother. It's like a fun, like a little thing that we do. We go out and we go to the movies. And during the credits, I think, and this is just me personally, like, while the film is happening, you don't talk.
Oh, yeah.
While the credit scenes are happening, like the post-credit scenes and all that, you don't talk. But during the credits themselves, I think it's perfectly okay to talk. And that's one of the things, like I said, I point out, you know, certain, like, oh, this thing from the comics, or this was a reference to the director worked on this previous thing or whatever. And so I will point out, because I am incredibly nerdy, and people who listen to some of the other things that I've done, you know, with like The Lost or whatever, the other shows, they know that I definitely recognize names in credits, and I look at that sort of stuff, even in television. So I will immediately say, if I see a name, I'll go, oh, and she'll be like, what? And I'll be like, oh, that person is so-and-so's producer. So, yeah, they, of course, worked on this project, but they also worked on this other thing with the actor who was in this, who also, and, like, I'll just connect it all very much like a six degrees sort of thing. Like, I do that all the time.
I always get asked, oh, what did this actor or actress play on? And I can name off, like, 10 different movies and shows, even if they were in it just for, like, a 30-second line.
Same, yep.
And if I could say that, it's like, okay, I should watch the credits and watch what, like, so I can recognize a name.
Yep.
And then even if I have to go on to the International Movie Database
website. IMDb,
and look up just so I'm aware.
Yep.
I'm not giving the wrong information out.
Well, like on my Lost with Friends show, my one friend, Kevin, who's on there, whenever he's on, he likes to say, you know, he's like, oh, this person wrote this one or direct. And there will be times where he'll say that, and then I'll go, oh, I know that name. And he'll go, you know, Paul, he's like, I, and he says almost all the time, he's like, I didn't, he's like, but I knew you would. So even though I know, he's like, I'll give you the, you know, he's like, go ahead, why don't you say who that person was or whatever. And there was like one of the directors on that show, and we were talking about it, and they were both looking it up at the same time. It was to, my friend Jake and my friend Kevin were on that one, and they were both basically looking it up at the same time. And I said, this one guy, he was the director. I'm like, he was kind of the second in charge as the director of the show, and, you know, in Hawaii and whatever. And I said, but the weird thing is, I said, he directed like the second the second highest number of episodes. I said, but the weird thing is, he was only, the show was 6 seasons long, but he was only there seasons 1 through 5. I said, I don't know what happened to him, whatever. And they were like, I never noticed that before. They were like, that's really weird, you know, or whatever. Or like one of the writers at one point was also somebody who was a big, one of the head writers on Fringe, which was another show co-created by J.J. Abrams and whatever. So like, again, my friend Kevin was like, oh, this name. And I go, I recognize that. He goes, I was hoping you would, Paul. He's like, yes. And we started talking about Fringe for a little bit, whatever. So yeah, that was that's one of the things that I like, and I kind of like it, and it's a little selfish, but I kind of like the fact that people know that that's one of my things.
Yeah,
that they can
like
say
they can
to
come
me,
to you and ask
yeah, they
you
can say
too.
To me like, oh, who is that or what? And I mean, I have it even because you and I work at the same place. We don't ever name the place, by the way, but we do. We work at the same place, and there are people who, whenever I'm talking with them about, you know, a certain TV show that I'm maybe a dedicated fan and they may be a casual fan, and they'll be like, oh, who is this? Or, you know, oh, I was watching the episode last night. Why did that one person look familiar? And just like you, and I'll say, oh, that's this. And I'll know the actor's name instantly. I'll be like, that's this person. They were in this. And they'll be like, no, this, no, this, no. They were in like this for like 30 seconds or whatever. They're like, oh, that's where I know them from.
That one little bit, all it takes is that one moment in time to recognize that face, and you're like, I know this person from something.
Yep.
Whether it be TV, movie, interviews.
Yep.
Even their voice sometimes. Like, you can recognize the voice.
The guy, the current season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Are you watching the current season?
Yes.
Okay. So the guy who, the Kree guy who is hunting down, or was hunting down, the kid that just became an Inhuman. He's the one, he there's that girl
with the little knives, or
no, not him. No, there's a big bald guy. There's, okay, you know the girl that's been, that was helping them,
okay,
and then she just got killed.
Oh, the guy that, when the Inhuman walks up to him in the robe,
yeah, and he's just like, do you have any idea? Yeah. Like that really deep voice guy. I was watching it with my mother, and she goes, why does that guy's voice sound so familiar? And I'm looking him up, and he has like no. Like, he has very few credits. He has, like, video game credits, like, yeah, on IMDb and stuff. But apparently, in the Guardians of the Galaxy TV cartoon series, which won't be covered here because it's not officially part of the MCU, he does the voice of Thanos.
Yes.
And she knew that. I had no, because I've never seen
now
that.
Now that you mention it, I connect it, yes.
Yeah, but I had no idea, but she's just like, I knew his voice sounded familiar.
Yes.
But, like, that's one of those instances where I had no, because I've never seen that. Because I think the guy, that's Will Friedle does, plays Star-Lord, right? The guy from Boy Meets World? I believe he does the voice of Star-Lord in that series, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, so I don't want to, like, really comment on that. But that's what I mean. Like, you can recognize a voice,
uh-huh,
because appearances, as many people know, can change in a movie or a show. Like, for instance, somebody could have a beard in a show, but in a movie they could be clean shaven, like Calvin Klein model lookalike.
I know you watch Supernatural.
Yes.
Okay.
I have not seen the last, I believe, two seasons.
Okay, but even still, I know you'll know the character. The guy who played Kane?
Yes. Plays in Psych as well.
Yes, and I've never seen Psych. I've never seen a single episode, but someone told me that, and they were like, and they said that they had no idea, and I'm like, what do you mean? Like, he's, and but you go and you look at him as Kane in Supernatural, yes, and then you look at him in Psych, and he looks completely different.
He looks so much bigger as Kane.
Yeah.
Like, and that's another thing, too, the roles that they have to prepare for. In Psych, he's a detective. In Supernatural, he is a demon knight.
Yeah.
He's literally the first demon.
Yep.
And the reason he is a demon is because he protected his brother. And I think it gives him that brute, dark power look.
Yeah.
That you would associate with a demon. But also, you could see the protectiveness in that, as you could see the law enforcement demeanor in Psych. You could see him present the role the right way.
Yeah.
And the long hair in Supernatural tends to throw people off a little bit.
The long, he has the beard too. I don't, yes, think, I think in Psych he doesn't have the beard.
Yeah, he actually has a beard somewhat like you in Supernatural.
Yeah. Oh, his is better than mine though. But yeah, so I think this worked really well for a test pilot, of course.
Yeah, my first one.
There you go. Most of you will never hear this, or it will be a long time before you ever hear this, in which case many of these references will be very dated, or they'll have been things that we've talked about in subsequent, to you, previous episodes.
And we don't want to give a lot away right away. We did give out a little bit of information here and there, but we don't want to give out too much of what we're going to be watching and too many references.
Right.
But as you listen, you'll get the references.
Yes. But yes, thank you all, whoever happens to ever hear this, for listening. And we need to figure out a sign off. I have sign offs for certain things, like on Lost with Friends. I thank you, namaste, and good luck, I say. For Wrestling Renegades, we do like a different wrestling sort of catchphrase or figure it out to make it with whatever the episode was or something like that. I don't have one for Paul and All. That's kind of my thing.
We could think of one.
We'll have to. See, like, if it was a Star Wars one, of course we would have to say, oh, may the Force be with you, or whatever.
Just, like, a project I'm going to be working on on Solo, you guys will, Paul, you'll see that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we'll think of something
soon.
Yeah,
we'll have to come up with something.
I think being it's the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we could probably like say something like find your power or something.
With great podcast comes great responsibility.
There you go.
Okay, so in addition to that pilot that you just heard, we actually did in the same sitting a second pilot because we weren't quite sure how exactly we thought the series would go. Obviously, creatively, it's undergone many changes since that initial thing. Again, that was about a little over two years ago we recorded these. But here is the second version. Again, we're talking about the exact same thing. A funny thing happened on the way to Thor's Hammer. So if you're not necessarily interested, we completely understand. But here is that same discussion, but from a slightly different perspective. So here is that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second test pilot for the potential new Clock Shelves Podcast Network series MCU and me, a Marvel Cinematic Universe rewatch dissection sort of podcast series. I am one of the hosts, Paul Casey, joined as ever,
Jason McEwen.
Jason, my co-host, and basically what we will be doing with this series is covering everything from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which, for clarification, is basically anything to do right now with the Avengers. Of course, it becomes a little more complicated seeing as Disney is in the process of buying
everything.
Yeah, buying 21st Century
Feels
Fox.
Like Disney's bringing buying everything.
You know, I'm very torn on that. On one hand, I'm okay with everything being under one roof. On the other hand, I'm not necessarily okay with everything being controlled by one thing.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if Marvel was doing their stuff, it'd be fine. But Marvel's now owned by Disney. So they have to go
follow
by the
Disney guidelines.
Exactly. They have to follow the Disney standard.
Can't do their own thing.
Exactly. But yes, so we will be covering the films, you know, Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Black Panther, all that sort of stuff. Obviously, everything relating to the Avengers. We'll be covering Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, Inhumans, Runaways, all of the Netflix shows. I think the only thing we won't probably cover, and maybe we will at one point, but there is the in Cinematic Universe comic books that Marvel has published. I don't necessarily see
I might reference them a little bit because I have more of a comic knowledge.
Okay.
So I'm
not opposed to it.
I would say listeners might hear me mention something that I think they could have did different in the movies they did in comics.
I don't mean the comics, but like there are in. Like, okay, so within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right, like we know that Bruce Banner, he got the super soldier thing that...
the serum, yeah.
Yeah, the Captain America. But in the comics version, that's not the case.
Yeah, it's just a lab accident.
Okay, but there are other, as far as I know, and I could be wrong on this, but as far as I know, there's like a separate, sort of like a one shot, and that's what we'll be getting into in a moment. And for anybody who doesn't know in comics, why don't you explain to them, Jason, what a one shot is in terms of comics?
A one shot is basically you get like three lines, a scene, like a 2-minute scene, and you're done. It's more of a kind of like a foreshadowing event. It shows you, say, you'll hear us discuss it about somebody on their way to something, what happened before they got to this part. And it's literally a one shot. You start, finish, you're done.
Yeah. It's a single issue. Like in terms of the comic,
essentially
books.
A deleted scene.
Yeah. But so as far as I know, there are comic books that Marvel has published because like we know there's the regular comic book universe, Earth 616. There's the Ultimate Universe.
And then the Marvel Universe itself.
Yeah. But like, there's the Ultimate Universe, which is takes place in like 2099 or something like that. But then there's whatever the cinematic universe thing. So there is like sort of prequel comics to each of the films and things like that. And those are the ones where I'm just like, I don't know if we even want to cover those.
Yeah, I think the comics, it kind of, the comics are all over the place. And like, you have alternate timelines in the comics.
Yes. And that, I have the feeling that they're going to be doing that with the films very soon, because
there's a new storyline in the Captain America comics that I'm not going to mention. But I think if they keep these the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies going, they could adapt this storyline from the comics into the movies.
Well, one of the problems that they have, that they're going to have, is like Robert Downey Jr. is going to be done pretty soon.
Yep.
Playing Iron Man.
Same with Chris Evans.
Chris Evans is going to be done soon playing Captain America. And so the question becomes, do they reboot Iron Man? Do they reboot Captain America so that it's still Steve Rogers, or do they give it to Falcon? I believe Falcon takes over.
Yeah, there's
Captain
a few
America.
Different people I know that are up for the role of Captain America, the mantle of Captain America.
Right, and that's the thing, is do they recast the role, or do they just have someone else take up the mantle, as
exactly.
you said?
And I think Falcon, in my opinion, would be the best choice for that, because he in the movies, as a lot of people know, he was in the military, same as Captain America.
Yeah. But, of course, if they if they're going to do, like, okay, somebody new as Tony Stark, say they decide to give it to somebody younger.
I was just going to say, I don't know how I would feel about somebody a little, like, I could see maybe a little younger than Robert Downey Jr. But the
problem is, if they do it as somebody a little younger, and that, so like, basically if they're going to reboot it, kind of like they did, like, okay, like, think like Star Trek when they rebooted it. Okay. So now what's his name? Chris Pine is basically playing a young version. He's not playing a young version of William Shatner. He's just playing a young version of James T. Kirk,
exactly.
who we know becomes or looks like William Shatner. Right. So now if we see a younger version
kinda
of
like
Tony,
how they do with Spider-Man.
Exactly. But if we do a younger version of Tony Stark, does that mean that just the Iron Man films reboot and none of the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe reboots?
I think maybe a few years, maybe like even 15 years from now, I think if they wait that long, then maybe they could do it like that. This way they could reach a different audience as well.
But then it screws up the entire timeline of everything.
Yeah.
Unless they start doing, like in the comics.
The 2099 universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I know, I've read a few articles that the Spider-Man, they're supposed to bring about Miles Morales, I think his last name
is.
They're supposed to bring his Spider-Man into the, it was rumored that they're going to do it, bring his Spider-Man into the universe. Like, you'll finally see Miles Morales.
In the cinematic universe.
Yes.
His, for a long time, people were campaigning for Donald Glover to play Miles Morales. To the point where, even on an episode of Community that he was on, he wore Spider-Man pajamas. Because he's wanted...
I remember seeing that article, yeah.
Yeah, he's wanted that for a long time. And then in this latest one, they cast him, but they didn't cast... And especially because he's getting a little older now.
Yes.
People think he's a little too old to be playing high school-aged Miles Morales, because people don't accept people in their 20s and 30s as high school students anymore.
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his character in the Homecoming film, he references his nephew, who is Miles Morales. So they did give him like a brief, I don't think they named him Miles Morales, but I'm pretty sure he referenced his young nephew named Miles or something like that in the movie, and it's highly implied that it's Miles Morales. So we know that he exists somewhere in the MCU.
I think for the Miles Morales role, if they do the movie with him, I think it's going to sound weird, and a lot of listeners might not agree with me, but I think Jaden Smith. I think, like I said, judging by that sound, I know you probably won't agree either, but he's, I feel, the right age.
Yeah, to be fair, I haven't seen anything that he's been in. I don't think I've seen a single... that's not true. I saw Pursuit of Happiness.
You haven't seen The Karate Kid.
No, why would you ever... First of all, why would you ever remake The Karate Kid?
Exactly.
Let alone, why would you ever... Like, why would I ever watch a Jaden Smith version of Karate Kid? Like, I'm sorry. Maybe it was good, but I'll never know because I don't ever plan on watching it. You know,
Jackie Chan helped that movie.
I'll put it to you this way, and you'll get this, and certain people who are listening, if anybody ever listens to this, will understand. I'd rather watch Nightmare Before Christmas than watch that movie. I'd rather watch Forrest Gump than watch that movie. Hey. I'd rather Forrest watch Gump was a classic. Christmas Story. These are, for anybody who doesn't know, if you're ever listening to this, these are films that I've never seen.
Out of all the movies he's seen?
Yeah, these are films, and these are considered classics, but these are films that I've never seen. So I would rather, and I never plan to see, but I would rather watch those movies than watch...
Them and Jaden Smith.
Yes. But, that being said, if they cast him...
With the right director, I think he can go far with it.
Either way, if it's a Kevin Feige produced thing within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I'm gonna watch it because I'm
a fan of his work.
I'm a whore for that kind of stuff. But okay, so for this little test pilot thing, we're going to be discussing one of the Marvel one-shots released with the Captain America Blu-ray. It's called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer. And I can definitely make the argument that this may have been one of the things that made them go, you know, Coulson might be able to handle, like,
handle,
you know,
himself.
Yeah, Clark Gregg might be able to handle being
step
like
up to the plate.
Be the star of something. Yeah. Yes. And we actually did an alternate take of this pilot where we watched it as we talked about it. But this time I think we're just going to kind of break down sort of what happens. We didn't really take notes, but it's only a two or three minute thing.
How many notes can you take?
Right, exactly.
I wouldn't even be done finishing one note and it'd be done.
Okay, so it started out with him driving through the desert. And of course, this takes place during... the film The Incredible Hulk, and it's in between Iron Man 2 and Thor, obviously, because he's on the way to Thor's hammer. So that's roughly in the timeline. And that's the thing, when we do finally start the series, it will be in released order, not chronological order, because if that were the case, then you would have Captain America coming first, but that just doesn't play right because there's things that it references that happened in Iron Man and Iron Man 2 and The Incredible Hulk and all sorts of things like that. So it will be in released order. But we see him driving through the desert, and we saw from watching the credits, it's not, but it sounds like the song that I never know other than, I just know it as the Chips Ahoy theme.
The Chips Ahoy theme, yeah. I thought it was too at first.
Yeah, and of course, watching the credits, we know it's called Marvel Swing.
Marvel Swing kind of makes it sound like...
It sounds like
a nightclub.
See, I was thinking it sounds like when Disney, because I think Disney's getting the rights back for all of their theme parks, because Marvel used to be at the Universal parks. Yeah. So I think they have all the rights back, or they're getting all the rights back. It just seems like a ride that they would have at they're going to call Marvel
Land. Like the start of a roller coaster or something.
Yeah, Marvel Swing. I definitely like your idea better, more like a nightclub thing. Okay, so there was that happened, and then he stops in, and we saw the Roxxon.
Yeah, you see the camera pan over the whole Roxxon logo.
For those who don't know, and we'll talk about it quite a bit, that's a recurring company name that appears, and they're just kind of like, they have their hand in a little bit of
everything.
In
almost everything, yes.
Yeah.
And me, personally, I've seen almost every one of the movies and shows, and I didn't pick up on the Roxxon references. Paul has, though.
Because I'm a nerd.
Nerd.
Yes.
But yeah, I personally have not picked up on it, and Paul pointed it out to me. So I'm sure I'll keep my eyes out for everything related to that coming up in all the films and shows.
like I said, even if some certain times, even with like the Netflix series, they'll have things where like one of the, like, you know, there's like a lawyer and something on their desk. It's like, or they're on the phone with somebody where it's like, oh yeah, I got to deal with the, like, with the Roxxon thing or whatever. Yeah.
The unknown facts I was looking up.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we saw the Roxxon thing. We see him go into
the gas station
and he's like, looking at Little Debbie's donuts
powdered in chocolate.
A man after my own heart. Or a man after my own stomach, I should say.
Yeah, stomach, yeah. Me personally, I would have picked the chocolate.
Chocolate. I'm not a big fan of the powder, especially with the beard. The beard
everything
hinders
gets stuck in a beard.
The beard hinders certain foods and things. I mean, it is a good place to save some food for later.
A snack for later, midnight snack.
But it does hinder certain being able to eat certain foods the right way. And then suddenly there was a robbery.
Yeah, the robbers walk in, what, like a couple seconds after him?
Yeah.
He's bending down looking at the donuts, which of course are on the bottom shelf. And you see the robbers go up to the counter. I believe they asked for a pack of cigarettes.
Is there anybody else here? Put all the money and cigarettes in this bag.
Exactly. And I don't know why you would pick cigarettes. I mean, under a stressful situation. I mean, everybody has their things that they go to. Cigarettes, yeah.
They're expensive.
Exactly, and got them for free.
But that's,
well,
that,
tried
that's,
to anyway.
That's why. That's probably, and because not that we want to promote illegal business practices, but one thing that a lot of people do, and it's like the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, actually goes after people a lot for this. They buy cigarettes.
And sell them individually.
Well, no, I was going to say, they do that, yeah, but I was going to say they go to states where the taxes are lower or there is no tax, buy them, and then take them back to wherever and either sell them themselves or sell them from like their own local gas station or whatever, and they get to make more money off of them because the tax rates are different or, you know, the tax things are different or whatever. And so there is a huge market for them. I don't think these two guys were smart enough that.
They're out in the middle of nowhere pretty much.
Yeah,
so
but
I highly doubt they're going to – I mean, they might have just been on their way through town and like, oh, hey, you know, let's rob this gas station.
Yeah, but so –
The funny thing is they didn't try getting free gas though.
Could you – is that something you would do?
One could have been in the store and said, hey, push a button, let us fill it up, and we're out.
I guess. I don't drive, so I don't necessarily.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Gas isn't cheap.
Oh, I know it's not cheap, but yeah, no, I my mind doesn't go there at all. they demand that they want to know if anybody else is there. And Coulson, of course, with you called it his
Coulson wit.
Yeah, the Coulson wit. He's, you know, I'm here and, you know, whatever. And then, they
ask for his keys.
Yep. They ask for his keys. And then he just voluntarily says, oh yeah, I also have a gun.
Yeah. And you could see like I said before, the sarcasticness on his face.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's cause he knows he can kick these guys' asses.
Yeah. Plural. and I think it's cool because you see him come out of the corporate shell, in a sense. You see the agent side of him, the specialist side, which is what they call their, like, 007 agents, I guess you can say, in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, all throughout the universe, the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
So you see that specialist side of him.
Yeah, I mean, well, up until this point, let's see, in Iron Man and Captain, or I'm sorry, in Iron Man and like Incredible Hulk and that, he's basically just like a background
character. You don't see much action.
Yeah, and so this was very much his way of coming to the forefront. Like I said, I think this definitely could have been somebody saying like, hey, you know what,
let's try this and see where it can go.
Yeah, we can do more with this guy. You know, and I mean, Clark Gregg has been around for a long time as an actor, but I mean, he really got to step up in terms of the Coulson character. He really got to step up.
And you could see the excitement on his face.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of looks like, he broke character almost. And you see, like I said, the excitement on Clark Gregg's face, not Coulson's face.
Yep. Okay, so he, you know, voluntarily said about the gun, and then he does, you know, something that very smart agent thing, knowing that he's gonna, this is gonna help him get the upper hand, because they're like, oh, throw it over here. He's like, oh, I'd rather,
he separates them.
Yeah, but he's like, I'd rather slide it. So I'm gonna step over into this aisle, and I'm gonna slide it over to you. And yes, he separated them, slides the gun over, and while the one guy's picking up the gun, takes like a bag of flour and whips it at the other guy's head.
Kind of reminds me of the, it's gonna totally different movie, totally different genre, White Chicks.
I've never seen it.
Ah.
I'm sorry.
Gotta get on it. But no, there's a scene where the guy dressed as a girl blows powder for your face out of their hand. They're doing a joke. And for some reason, it reminded me of that.
Okay.
Like, oh, here, powder.
Okay.
And bam, you're blinded.
Yeah.
Kind of like a fire extinguisher almost.
Okay.
Like in wrestling.
Yes, I gotcha. I see, he puts it in wrestling terms. I'm like, oh, I get it now. Yeah, yeah. It makes a lot more sense. Yeah, so whipped the bag of flour at the guy's face. And then he did like a, I don't want to say, I don't even know what would you.
I want to say kind of like a Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like a Matrix style, like jump up onto
the shelf.
Yeah.
And in that particular second, you don't really see much placement for a foot. So it's kind of like he uses the edge of the shelf, which makes it even more, trying to find the right words here.
More
action packed. I don't think.
No, I think more. I know what you're thinking, but basically, because you're saying like it's cooler because he didn't have much to work with. Exactly. I can't think of a word.
You could see him adapt to
his surroundings. Yeah.
And I think that's cool on an agent spectrum that he can adapt to pretty much any surrounding. Kind of like, I'm going to quote Bruce Lee here, be like water, my friend. It's shapeless, formless, but you pour it into a cup, it becomes the cup.
Yep. Oh, I like that.
I think every agent kind of knows that. Every person that knows self-defense, like, you have to adapt to your surroundings, adapt to your situation, and I think that's what Coulson does in this particular moment. Like, oh, hey, I could step up on the shelf and kick this guy.
Yep. Well, because he kicks the gun down.
Yes.
So that the guy shoots down with his double-barrel shotgun.
And Coulson's still in the air.
Right. And then he attacks the other guy, takes the gun, places it on the counter, and then puts both things of donuts.
Yeah, he couldn't decide.
That's exactly what he says. He's like, I couldn't decide. And the woman, you pointed this out when we were watching it.
Still had her hands up.
Yep, she still had her hands up. And
she might have thought he was in on it.
I don't think so. It's possible.
You see her like put her hands back down on the counter.
Yeah.
After you could tell she's like, oh, hey, this guy just defended me and my place of work.
Yeah. Because then he puts money on the counter. She says, what do I tell the cops? And I love his line of, tell them those Tybo tapes were really paying off, which...
Throw the football.
Yeah, which we had a bit of a difference on, because I remember in elementary school, in gym class, we used to do Tybo tapes certain times. And maybe one day, I've been doing visuals here for Jason, and he's seen them. Maybe one day somebody else will see me.
I remember the Tybo like commercials and infomercials, and even family friends getting the at that time VHS tapes, and I think it was the start of DVDs. I remember people getting them, but the only exercise thing I remember in gym class was the guy in the short shorts. Always had a tank top on. I want to say it's like Richard something.
Oh, Richard Simmons?
Yes.
With the afro? That's who you watched in gym class? Yep.
At least that's the one I remember.
Okay. I mean, I don't remember ever watching him. I remember we used to, like,
third or fourth grade.
Yeah, we used to.
It's sad I can remember that far back.
We used to watch the Tybo tapes where it was like walk, you know, let's walk and throw the football now.
Yep.
You know, and whatever, and it's like kick and kick.
It's kind of like the older version of P90X in a way, because it got you doing more more things at once.
Yeah.
The funny thing is how we mentioned watching these exercise things in school is me and Paul didn't really start talking to each other until we started working together.
Yeah, actually, yeah. And I mean, we went to school at least 4 years together. And what people may not know about our friendship is we went to all 4 years of high school together. And it wasn't until about 2 years after that, when we both started working at the same place, that we finally like talked to each other, became friends. And if I'm not mistaken, I think one of the first things you said to me, you were like, didn't you go to this high school?
Yep.
And I'm just like, yeah. And we talked about the fact that, like, we graduated together. And our graduated class was very small. So it's actually very odd that we didn't, like, ever really talk to each other. But, yeah, no, we became very good friends.
I'll admit, I mean, we probably didn't talk to each other much because I wasn't the most popular guy in school.
I wasn't very popular either.
I kept to, like, a group of, like, maybe, like, eight people. And those eight people helped me find these other people within our class.
Okay.
So it was like, oh, hey, I know this person because he talked to this friend.
Yeah.
And, oh, okay, I'll have a conversation with him now. That's how I remember Paul from school. And he was in AV, audio visual shop. And I remember seeing him on TV a lot of times in the morning.
Unfortunately, yes. People say I'm very good at like being a presenter, being a host. But I mean, I
got to start somewhere.
Does having a podcast network, like my own self-built podcast network, make me like a good host? I don't know. I wouldn't say that about myself.
You got to start somewhere. I'm going to do another reference. Teen Wolf, the TV show. Dylan O'Brien, he plays in The Maze Runner. He started out on YouTube.
You're throwing him over. As much as I like a lot of like
Justin Bieber,
as much as I like Buffy and, you know, the Vampire Diaries and stuff, I was never a Teen Wolf guy.
Seriously? I didn't like the movies. I liked the show because it was more relatable in a way.
No, I mean, I get it. I've seen things from that show, and I get, like, why people like it. But despite the fact of how into that sort of stuff I am, I've never just sat down and been like, I'm going to watch this. So maybe it's just because I've never given it a shot. But, yeah. Yeah, basically nothing else. I'm trying to think really quick. Nothing else.
The end credits.
Yeah. Yeah, because then he leaves the money on the counter. He goes out, finishes paying, you know, pumping his gas.
See him drive away. And it's funny Paul mentions the gas because it was like what $70-some in gas.
That's what you said. Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention
and
to that.
It was a small car.
Yeah.
I want to say it was an Audi. So I don't. Me as somebody that does drive knows that Audis get a decent amount of mileage. So why didn't the gas spill out of his tank? You know, $70 seems like a lot. And like I said, I'm not 100% sure it was 70, but I know there was a 7 and then like another like 2 digits after that. So I could have just been seeing it wrong.
I don't know. We'll have to go back and rewatch it like a fourth time, I guess. then the credits and we were talking about the fact that it's like a 4 minute thing overall, but it's like a minute and a half of credits, and it's just a matter of you know, while they were filming all of these things, it was because they were using the same crew that they were filming like whatever movie they, you know, they were doing it with, and they were like, oh, you know what, let's go do this
like
quick
a spare
little
time
scene.
Thing.
Yeah, kinda. So that's why they give the people all of the set decorator. I mean, yes, you have to have a set decorator and all that sort of stuff.
Maybe say another scene was happening and these Clark Gregg and all the other actors and actresses, producers, stagehands, whatever, they were in a completely different part getting ready to go to another scene. And like, oh, hey, you know, this looks like a nice little set.
You know what they call that? That's the second unit.
Yes.
That's what they call it. I don't know if you knew that or if any of the people who are ever listening and to this, that's what they call the second unit.
Like I said, it could have just been like, oh, hey, you know, let's mess around too. And they still have to give everybody the credit that's due.
And they deserve it.
Exactly. Even though it was, just a three-minute thing, it was pretty good.
Very good, yeah.
One scene like that can make a whole movie or a show.
And the best part is, it was a three-minute thing, and we've done two pilots now, talking about it for a half hour each.
Exactly. And see, that's the thing, too. Like, you could take a lot and discuss so much just from a three-minute scene.
Yep. I know. I do an entire podcast series about Lost, which is 43 minutes, and each of my episodes is about an hour to an hour and a half long.
Yeah, because you discuss, you could discuss the slightest little detail, like how Paul mentioned you could see somebody in the Marvel Universe, for instance, picking up a book or a suitcase. You could see a Captain America thing comic behind him. And then you could see in a newspaper them reference something from the 1940s about Captain America.
Yep. And that's another thing that we will definitely do is, talk about a lot of the Easter eggs and all that sort of stuff.
And there might even be Easter eggs that, the listeners see that we don't see.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we have anything else to talk about this interesting one-shot? Or anything else that we want to... talk about that we want to establish? Because I think we kind of...
I think it would have been nice in this to see Coulson get the call to go to Thor's hammer, because I don't think we've seen him get the actual call, because their code for a unknown object is an 084.
Right.
So I think it would have been nice to see him get a call from Fury or HQ to... go there and hear him say, oh, we have an 084, and then see him drive away at the end and all these other S.H.I.E.L.D. vehicles pull up behind him.
Yeah.
Or one of the people that the townsfolk that were trying to get Thor's hammer out of the ground roll into that gas station and Coulson hear about it or something and go there. I think that would have been pretty interesting.
I feel like I've seen a scene where he gets the phone call, or maybe it's one of them where he calls somebody else and he's like, he sees it and he's just like, I'm looking at it right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know what from, but I know that I think it was a post credit scene or something.
I think it would have been nice if they could have taken what you just said and I said,
yeah,
him have one of those people that were at the hammer come into the gas station, him, okay, this seems suspicious, I'm going to go check it out, and then him call HQ or something that. I think that would have been an interesting scene or interesting take on it.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, I was looking up to see if I could find where that scene is from, but I think it was like a post-credits scene leading into Thor. But yeah,
I think... I don't.
Thor, but I think it was
Iron Man 2 or something.
I think so, yeah.
Now, me personally, I've only seen little bits of Iron Man 2.
Shame on you. And you think you're going to be a host of a Marvel show.
I'll be sure to watch it. We're going to watch it anyway, so. I do remember a little bit from the movie. But, I think that's all I got right now.
That's all I have as well. If anybody ever happens to listen to this, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think this is going to make a pretty good series once we nail down a format.
Yeah. And I come out of my shell a little bit.
No, dude, I think it worked out really well, especially that one compared to this one. So,
yeah.
We don't have anything else, and we don't have to do any official sign off or whatever. But
we'll think of one.
Yeah, trying to think. Listen on, true believers.
See, there you go.
All right, so that gives you all a slight peek into the evolutionary process of how some of these podcasts come to be, perhaps. So that's the very, very earliest MCU and Me idea that was put down on recording, on wax, as they used to say, from me and my friend Jason. And as I said, obviously the show has undergone some many changes between then and now. Obviously, going to have to have Jason on again, but let us know what you think. You know most of the social media related things, so get in touch with us at Clockshelves across pretty much all platforms. CLOCKSHELVES. And until next time, thanks for listening, true believers.